Good morning. I am Dr. Christina Hines, and this is Brass Tax Sunday. Today is February the 14th, 2021, and some people will be celebrating Valentine's today. So I wish those of you who are happy Valentine's, and those who aren't, have an enjoyable Sunday. Remember to continue to be safe in these trying and quite strange times. Today we are going to be discussing race and discrimination in Barbados. This is a touchy subject to address in this country, but one that I think we perhaps need to have more conversations about. Over the last year, we have witnessed some protests around the world, Black Lives Matter, protests in the United States of America and other places, and these have even come to our shores. We witnessed some Black Lives Matter protests here in Barbados. We also had protests seeking the removal of Lord Nelson's statue. And we had the subsequent removal of the statue, as we all know, from Bridgetown. We've also had some social media controversies regarding business owners and private individuals who have made some utterances that raise some flags about racism in Barbados. We've had calls to boycott businesses. We have had outrage, whether in the news media, such as the newspapers, or on social media. But then we've had some of this outrage die down until the next time. We've had calls to boycott certain businesses. And we have had other commentators who have linked this, you know, these indicators of racism to a broader culture of discrimination and bigotry in Barbados. For instance, in last week's Sunday Sun, Peter Wickham made the point that this is connected to a broader culture of bigotry that we need to address in the country. And we often hear other things, such as that there are two Barbadoses. Who are the people in these two Barbadoses? Are these two Barbadoses, if they do indeed exist, because we're told that they do not, are they colored, as in racially colored? Are the dynamics based on class? How is nationality implicated, especially in a country like Barbados, where we have foreign investment, we have tourists, often people who come for a long stay as well. So what kinds of discrimination do we have in Barbados? What about other forms of discrimination along ethnic lines, religious lines, on the basis of gender? Are these intertwined in any way with the race dynamics in Barbados? So today we're going to take a try at delving into some of these issues. We really should not avoid addressing them, although we generally do in Barbados. And I hope that today we will have a fruitful discussion. And I welcome you, callers, to join this conversation using the phone number 434-1790, or you can join us via WhatsApp at 266-4862. And we have some panelists with us today to help discuss this topic. We have Professor Aaron Kamagisha. He's a professor in cultural studies. We have he's also the head of Department of Cultural Studies at the University of the West Indies Cave Hill campus. We have Dr. Rodney Worrell, and he is a historian with research specialty in Pan-Africanism. We have Dr. Louise Roach, and Dr. Roach is a development consultant with specialties in human security and citizen security, quite an interesting area that maybe she'll tell us a little bit about. We have Java Seeley, and he is a CARICOM Youth Ambassador. And Farhana Bulbulia, she is the founder of the Barbados Association of Muslim Ladies, and she also was the Queen's Young Leader in 2016. So I welcome you, panelists. Thank you for joining us today. And I would like each of you to tell us a little bit about your thoughts on whether or not we live in a society that is racist and discriminatory. Let's start with Professor Kamagisha.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hines. It's a pleasure to be on Down to Brass Tacks, a program which, of course, I've come to know very well over the years. To your question about whether I consider Barbados to be a racist society, certainly I do think that Barbados is an institutionally racist society, as I think most societies within the Western world are institutionally racist. And this has to do with reasons of colonialism and the ways in which a project of white supremacy pharmacy has unfolded in these societies over the last 500 years. As somebody who studies social and political thought, Black movements, Caribbean and Black intellectual history, radical thought, I tend to approach many of these issues through that lens. And so when I think about Barbados, there are certain historical coordinates that I like to lay down for consideration by listeners. I would first start with noting that Barbados was the first Black slave society, as Hilary Beckles pointed out in his recent wonderful book on this subject, which really brought together some of his prior work on Barbados and really helped us to understand the hemispheric and global importance of Barbados. In other words, Barbados is the first place in which European colonists fully understood that in order to garner the super profits that were possible coming out of the sugarcane plantations, you actually had to produce societies in which Black bodies would be violently coerced to do work in perpetuity over time and space. And so in many ways, the Barbados slave laws are some of the earliest slave laws in the Americas. They went onwards from there to other places in the Americas. They served as a backdrop, of course, for places like South Carolina's laws. And Barbados thus holds a very important place within the global history of colonialism. The second historical coordinate I'd like to make clear to persons when I think about Barbados as a racist society in time and space and something that gets perpetuated is the particularly socially oppressive nature of the plantation experience in Barbados in that long century from emancipation to the 1930s riots, but also really a society that I believe Gordon Lewis, a Caribbean historian, once referred to the white Barbadians of that time as renowned for their reactionary conceit. So we understand many things about this plantation society, the way that this plantation society perpetuated itself throughout that period. George Lamming's In the Castle of My Skin, for example, gives a wonderful portrayal of a society and what the society actually did. And we also have to acknowledge the fact that this society only really started to break down in the period post-World War II. So we have had over 200 years of slavery in Barbados and far less years of freedom. Since then, of course, the third movement is a question of a tremendous social advance that the majority of the population has had since then. But this is, of course, a social advance that is taking place without controlling economic power. And we can talk more about that later in terms of the contemporary dynamics of white economic power in Barbados, twinned with Black political power, and actually what it means for the perpetuation of racism within the society.
Okay. So, Professor Kamugisha, can I stop you there? Because you're gonna say everything, and we have other people who want to make some contributions. So we're gonna come back to you on these very important points, and we'll expand on them as the conversation goes on.
But thank you, Dr. Hines. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So enlightening as always. Let's go now to, I guess, following on from the historical background that you provided us with. Let's hear Dr. Worrell.
Hi. Good morning. Good morning, fellow panelists. Good morning, listeners.
Morning and yes, welcome.
Please. Now, Aaron outlined a lot of the historical ground. Barbados was a racist state from its inception. And Walter Rodney had a saying that the West Indies was the laboratory of racism. But if the West Indies was the laboratory of racism, it meant Barbados was the real breeding ground for this racism. And this was manifested inside of the Slave Code of 1661, where Blacks were deemed as heathenish, brutish, dangerous kind of people. Mm-hmm. Also the Slave Code of 1688 that described Blacks as being barbarous, etc. After emancipation, there was 100 years of racial apartheid inside of Barbados. Barbados along with Bahamas and Bermuda, mm-hmm. was said to be the three most racist territories. And we should be familiar with when Barbados had put its hat in the ring to be considered as the capital of the West Indian Federation. It was deemed too racist, right?
Right.
If you look at even in 1937, you see jobs advertised and saying blacks need not apply. So I'm saying that a system that took so many years to be constructed, right? This system or the legacy of this system is still there. It's like the system of colonialism. We know that we are independent, but we can still see all of the markers of colonialism. So we know that these systems are not easily dismantled. And for the longest while, and I'm glad that you said it at the inception, because in Barbados, there has always been a conspiracy of silence surrounding the race question. And I think the race question was only actively promoted at the level of the state in 1999 with the Committee on National Reconciliation. If you look at the 1966-67, there's an intense race debate taking place in Barbados because Barbados were going to play the rest of the world in a cricket match. And they invited two South Africans and one person from Rhodesia. And at the time, these two apartheid states were censored. So this was a serious outburst of the racial discourse then. In between 68 and 70, with the advent of the Black Power movement, is this discussion taking place in the trenches because the commanding heights of the economy was in local and foreign whites. And this discussion was tamped down at the level of the state with the Public Order Act.
Right.
In 1986, there was the reemergence of this race debate with the white shadows or the white shadows discussion surrounding the elections. 1990 again, the discussion surrounding the renaming of Farley Hill. So there has always been this fear of engaging in this discussion. So I'm glad that at least today we can start the conversation once again to see the extent to which maybe some of the structures, or I should say some of the pillars of racism might have started to really be eroded. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that statement. I've had some questions in the WhatsApp, and this is a question that always comes up when we have these kinds of discussions. One of the questions is, do we have any white panelists here? Because there generally is a sense that when we have these kinds of discussions, they're like attacking discussions and not discussions aimed at really aerating an issue. And we do have panelists of different races and backgrounds on with us today. I don't know if any of them want to indicate that outright. I feel a little bit uncomfortable doing so, but just to let people know, this is radio, so you can't see what we look like, but we do have a diverse panel here today. Next, we will speak to Dr. Louise Roach. Will you tell us a little bit about yourself and your take on this topic, Dr. Roach?
Good morning, doctor. Good morning, panelists, and good morning to our listeners. Now, I've listened to BrassTax for many years, and I thoroughly enjoy this program. I think it's been a great avenue really for ventilating issues, for bringing these types of problems to light, and for encouraging discussion and exchange of ideas. So I'm really humbled to be part of the program today. Certainly the topic today is one that is complex, it is sensitive, and I just hope I can do justice in my own contribution. So what I want to do is pick up on one of the opening questions that Christina had. This is about the kinds of discrimination that we do have in Barbados.
Yes, please.
So firstly, what is discrimination? Discrimination refers to treating a person or people differently, usually worse because of their skin color, their sexual preference, or another distinction. And I think we should use this moment really to open ourselves up to the recognition that we have some forms of discrimination persisting within our society, as well as the racism, which has been touched upon by my fellow panelists here. Whether that is socially, structurally, economically, or otherwise. And when I bring this up, I'm certainly not meaning to say that discrimination on the basis of race is not important, because it certainly is, undeniably so. But my goal is rather to point out that in this moment and this feeling of anger, of hurt, of desire for action, that we as a collective can recognize that there are other people within Barbados that have also at other points in time felt similar sentiments, and they're also deserving of having that which discriminates against them be addressed as part of this movement towards a better Barbados. So I see this not as shifting the focus, but including that wider context. So we say it is not acceptable to have discrimination against people on the basis of their color. Why is it acceptable to discriminate against anyone on the basis of their ability? If it is not, why do differently abled people not have the same opportunity to access public and private sector buildings in Barbados as those, for example, who don't need to use a wheelchair? Do they have the same access to transport, to services, and to employment? Why is it acceptable to discriminate against anyone on the basis of their sexual orientation? If it is not, why do we still have such a resistance to homosexual normalcy? Why is it acceptable to discriminate against anyone on the basis of their religion? If not, do we see a comfort with Rastafarians or Muslim to be as mainstream and evident in their practice of their religion as Christianity? So I think certainly that this is a moment where we can reflect, but I think we also need to ensure that we do more than just that reflection, that this is not just a spike in discussion, but that we can ensure that something tangible comes out of this. What systems can we put in place to report and to hold accountable for prejudiced behavior and for hateful language?
Thank you so much for that. Let's go next to I think perhaps for Hannah Bulbulia, maybe a useful follow on from those interventions. Welcome.
Thank you, Christina, and welcome to the fellow panelists as well, and for having, you know, a diversity of voices on this panel. I think it would make for a very fruitful discussion. You know, in listening to the panelists, I think in large part, much of what they've said, I agree with when it comes to racial discrimination in Barbados and really focusing on that specifically. For me, I have of predominantly East Indian background. However, in researching my history and understanding my history, I am also of African and Irish ancestry as well, which is often less known when we look at, for example, the East Indian population in Barbados. I think the unique history that I come to the panel with offers a perspective of similarity and of difference. You know, East Indians would have began to arrive in Barbados just over 100 years ago. And we came from a very similar colonial period where Britain ruled over India and horrific things were done, and racial, you know, discrimination and even separation of persons based on the color of their skin, although, you know, persons were all Indian, was very dominant. Additionally, this was coupled with the inherently discriminatory caste system that is still exists in India today. So what we have in Barbados is not a homogenous group of people. And although we have shared histories, sometimes those similarities in these histories are not often discussed within the context of how they play out in racial discrimination. Because oftentimes I see, you know, persons of varying race say, well, where are the East Indians in this discussion? Where, you know, do they discriminate as well, or they are discriminated against as well? And then it becomes that discussion. But what I think is important to understand is the history in which we come to the table with. And much of the work that we are doing now within BAML is recognizing that these discussions need to be had because they have not been had. You know, within the last year, I've seen South Asian communities globally begin to call out racism for what it is. And that has been pushed largely in part by the exceptional work done by the Black Lives Matter movement and historically Black Power movement and so on. So there's some importance in recognizing that within these movements, you're causing other communities of individuals who have been, you know, dissected and so on based on their colonial history to begin to reflect internally as well. So when we look at the case in Barbados, you know, although we realize that Barbados is made up of differences in color, there's also a difference in understanding of what racial discrimination is and what how it plays out in different communities. Because I think when I look within, you know, the East Indian community and how I see discrimination play out, whether it be subtly or overtly, it begs the question of how then do we reach out to these communities in different ways? Because the ways in which I would talk about race, for example, with my colleagues who may be Black or white, is going to be very different than how I talk to my colleagues who may be East Indian, because of the understandings there and recognizing that, you know, persons come with this different understandings, and to be able to reach them, you have to show the examples in the way that they know it or the way that they see it. Because I found that people often tend to deny that even racism exists when undoubtedly it does within our society, and we need to have those conversations. So thank you for having me on the panel, Christina.
Thank you for accepting, Farhana. Next, we will have Java Seeley. He's a CARICOM Youth Ambassador. So this is the third youth voice, I would say, because I think that Dr. Roach, Farhana, Bulbulia, and Java all fit into that youth category. I'm not in it. The rest of us aren't in it, right? But so tell us from your perspective, Java, do we live in a racist society? How does discrimination feature in Barbados? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, firstly, good morning, Dr. Hines. Good morning to my fellow panelists, and good morning to Barbados. Regarding your place in the youth category, I think that may be still up for debate. But regarding race in the country, I really have to agree with a lot of what my fellow panelists said. I think that an analysis of our depth of history really reveals how much racism really still is alive in Barbados, and some people would say alive and well. And since Dr. Roach went along the lines of defining discrimination and racism, since racism is a negative value placed on a group of people who belong to a certain race or skin color, and since Barbados, as a former British colony, has had its value systems imported with it, it'll be naive of me to say that Barbados doesn't have any racism or hasn't had it, even as it's about to become a republic this year. Now, when I was born, Barbados was 32 years old. So there's a lot that I would have missed. And as I would have grown up, there's a lot that I was starting to understand. And usually, as Barbados is a majority Black country, tend to perceive racism to be white on Black. However, we don't really account for the number of other races or other different realities there might be in Barbados. We tend to look at it from one perspective continually. Race definitely, I tend to look at race from a very political perspective, and as politics really is the study of power, and as persons exert one level of power influence over another, I don't think that we can deny the presence of racism in Barbados. However, as I was giving it some thought, I think that there's been a lot of unconscious racism in Barbados, and it's only as racial movements have gained popularity across the world that we've tend to give it a lot more focus, a lot more attention. usually to the point of identifying with it and to the point of empathizing with persons in the American context or in the British context, so to speak. I think that largely racism is something that in Barbados, people may not tend to experience very overtly. However, it is very much there. I think any society which is predicated on the basis of one race or one status or one class having superiority over another is really unjust. So I'm really glad that we're having this conversation and bringing the issues that we might have to light. Thank you for having me.